next week. Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 7, verse 17. The title of the sermon this morning is No More Tears. No More Tears. Revelation chapter 7, verse 17. No more tears. Give you a moment to get there. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. Here it is. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. For anyone who knows what it is to weep over sin or loss or pain, the prospects of heaven offers a tremendous promise, a glorious promise. One day God Himself will wipe away every tear from our eyes. If we know Christ, one day God Himself will wipe away every tear from our eyes. No matter the cause of the tears, He will wipe them away. Isn't that a glorious promise from the Scriptures? And even better, one day the tears will be replaced, will be transformed into laughter. That's right, laughter. You see, the promise of God to His children is this: weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You like that verse of Scripture? You paying good attention? Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It is true that for those of us in this room who are alive today, right, and are the children of God, it is true that the grave is still out in front of us. But it is also true that the Lord Himself has already snatched the sting of death from the grave. O death, where is thy sting? He has already trampled underfoot the victory of death and the grave. O grave, where is your victory? It's no more. The Lord Himself has already given His children victory over sin and death and the grave. Our risen King has triumphed over death and the grave. It is He who holds the keys of eternal life. Do you understand that? Do you get that? So let us not dwell on the miseries that accompany us here. Rather, let us look at two things. Let us gaze with fondness upon eternity past. What do you mean, Brother Mose? Yes, gaze with fondness upon eternity past, when we did not even exist, but when God Himself chose us and wrote our names in the book of life. Gaze upon that. Think of that. Before we were, God wrote our names in the book of life if we belong to Him. And then let us flash forward to eternity future to see the glories which are stored up for the children of God there. Consider the glories that are stored up right now for you, child of God. None of us can travel through this life without discovering thorns and thistles. It's part of the curse. It's part of the curse attached to original sin. There are going to be thorns and there are going to be thistles, and it seems like everywhere we step, there they are. It seems like whatever we do, no matter how carefully we try to tiptoe our way through this life, we are going to suffer unexpected wounds. And we may, As a result, from time to time in this life, forget how to laugh. But I can assure you of one thing, we'll never forget how to weep. Not here. I know that from experience. There have been seasons in my life where I could not laugh. I felt as if I had nothing to laugh for. I had nothing to laugh over. But there has never been a shortage of reasons to weep. Not here. Now, why is that? Well, there are a number of reasons for that, but let me give you the primary reason why there will never be a shortage of reasons to weep here. The primary reason is because sin is a greater source of our sorrow than all other sources put together. And there are many sources for weeping. But sin is the greatest source of them all. I'm convinced from the Scriptures. When you look at the total of Scripture, I'm convinced that the children of God endure more sorrow from sin than from any of life's circumstances, from any of life's difficulties, or from any of life's losses. So when you consider all of life's circumstances, all of the difficulties that come upon us in life, all of the losses that we will most certainly endure if we live long enough, if you ball all of them together, they don't compare with the weeping that sin causes. Can you imagine with me? Can you imagine with me the saints in heaven right now? If it were not true that God wipes away every one of their tears, can you imagine what kind of weeping there would be in heaven right now? What a torrent of tears there would be flowing down the cheeks of the people of God in heaven right now if God Himself did not wipe them away? Can you imagine that? If God did not provide a perpetual flow of grace to His children there, even there, in glorified bodies, they would be weeping right now. Well, why? Why is this so? Because if that were not so, what regret, what tremendous regret the saints of God in heaven would right now be living with over their past sin. You need to put yourself there in your mind's eye, standing in heaven itself, face to face with God. And if it were not for His grace to wipe away every tear, if it were not for His enabling grace, even the saints in heaven could not live with the regret of their past sin. And so we need to understand something, and we need to understand it really well while we're here in these bodies, living here. We say, living here for Jesus. That's what we say. The question is it what we're doing? Is it what I'm doing? Is it what you're doing? We need to understand something and understand it very well, and that is this. The more holy a person is, the more that person will hate sin. So the question is, how much do you hate sin? The question for me is, how much do I hate sin? Not in you, but in me. Because you see, it's easy to hate shortcomings and failures and flaws in other people. It's a little different to hate it in yourself. So my question to you is, and my question to me is, how holy are we? Because we're called to be holy, even as He is holy. Amen? How much do I hate sin in me? That's the question. It is an absolute fact that the more holy I become, the more I will hate sin. You see, it is a holy hatred of sin that proves I am growing in sanctification. It is a holy hatred of sin in me that proves I am growing in my ability to be set apart from this world and set apart unto Christ. Repentance does not become less acute As we grow in sanctification, no, no, no. Repentance becomes more and more acute. You know what I found? I have found the closer I walk with Jesus, those times when I am walking really, really close with Jesus, I am discovering that I've got more and more and more to repent of. Repentance is a lost word in the church in America. It's been replaced, well, I regret. It's been replaced with words like regret. I regret what I said. Regret nothing. Oh, we may feel sorry for what we said or feel sorry for how we treated somebody. And that's kind of what goes on in the 21st century church. All too often, I feel remorse. I feel regret for what I did. But where's the repentance? Because with repentance comes brokenness. It crushes us to the dust. Repentance becomes more and more acute the more and more holy we become, not less acute. And we need to understand this about sin. So let me ask this. If this is true, and it is, how much greater will my hatred of sin be when I am made perfectly holy in heaven? If I am to hate sin with a vehement hatred here, how much more will I hate sin when I am made perfect there? Think of it. Consider that for a moment. If on earth you and I for just a moment, for 5 minutes, if God for just 5 minutes would make us perfectly holy, you know the only thing we would have time for? Weeping. Weeping. You see, to think that it is sin which has stained us through and through, to finally see sin for what it really is, that foul, filthy, poisonous, deadly thing that it is. It is sin that has murdered me. Do you understand that? It is sin that murdered you. It is not my friend and it is not your friend. It is a vile, poisonous, deadly thing. It is abhorrent in the sight of holy, holy God. If we, you and I, right now could know, even as we are known, if we could fully understand how we have so deeply offended such a good and gracious and loving God, do you know what would happen? The floodgates of our eyes would burst forth in a flood of tears and there would be no end to it. And this is the kind of preaching that America needs to hear. Not because I'm preaching it, but because it's the truth and it's what's needed. Unless God purifies His saints in the sight of Jesus Christ, the Lamb in the midst of the throne, there is no hope except tears. If it were not for God wiping away the tears of His saints, they would not even be able to look upon Him in heaven. They would not be able to see through their tears to see Him high and lifted up. But God does wipe away all their tears. And that's why the sermon is entitled, No More Tears. God does wipe away the tears of His children. And because He has, do you know that the Word of God declares of the saints in heaven made perfect that they worship God in song? Did you know that? Did you know that? Do you know one of the songs they sing? Do you want to hear a line from one of the songs they sing? Well, good. I'm glad somebody does. It's Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood. You see, the saints in heaven understand the vital importance of having their sins forgiven. Of being freed from sin by the blood of the Lamb of God. And they sing this song without one tear in their eye. And though I cannot fully understand how this can be, I know that God's Word says they do. You and I can't do that down here. There have been occasions, and perhaps there should be more. I feel certain there should. When singing a certain song to God causes me to weep, not because I like the words, not because it's my preferred genre, but because the truth of the words break my heart. Break my heart. Crush my heart to the dust. So that I try to sing and I'm trying to get the words out through a broken heart with tears running down my face. That ought to happen more to me. I cannot be as the saints in heaven are, able to sing these songs to God, able to look Him face to face with no tears in their eyes because He Himself has wiped them away. He's not done that for me yet. I can only imagine that if I were right now able to be transported into the halls of heaven in a vision, even in a vision, if God would do that with me and for me, and I could see the Apostle Paul, and I could see Timothy, and I could see many of the great saints of God, and I could see some of my loved ones who have died, whom I know in my heart are there, I'd burst out into tears. I'd burst out in tears. You want to know why? Because I would be seeing them glorified through unglorified eyes. And it would crush my heart. And I would crumble in tears to see what they are and realize I am not as they are. But the Scripture says God will wipe away every tear once His children are made perfect. Let me ask you this question. Who but God could do this? Who but God could do this? The Scripture says He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. Who but God could do that? Who but God could create a place where there is no more death, where there is no longer any mourning or crying or pain of any kind? Who but God could do that? And this includes the tears of suffering, the tears of oppressed people, the tears of the poor, the tears of the widow, the tears of the orphaned, the tears of the persecuted, the tears of the martyred, and the tears of the millions and millions and millions of unborn children who have been slaughtered at the altar of sacrifice. God will wipe away all of those tears. Such crying shall be no more. But what about joy? No more tears. Well, what about joy in heaven? Huh? What about joy in heaven amongst those who have already been, who are among the glorified? Listen to this. When we think of being reunited with our loved ones whom we know are there, when we think of seeing Jesus face to face as He really is, and seeing a smile of acceptance from Him, does that cause joy to flood the soul? It ought. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever laughed so hard it brought tears to your eyes? Have you? I have, many times. I don't know about you, but I like to laugh. There have been seasons when I didn't have much to laugh about. But I love to laugh. You like to laugh? And those times when it's a belly laugh. And it causes tears because we're laughing so hard. Well, let me tell you something. There, Christ will be our greatest source of endless joy and laughter. Do you know what Charles Spurgeon once wrote? And I agree with him. He said, "I believe with all my heart there's as much holiness in a laugh as there is in a cry. The right kind of laughter." When God stops our weeping and dries our tears, He's going to replace it with something. He's going to replace it with inexpressible joy and with laughter. I believe that. Heaven is not going to be a dull place. Heaven is not going to be a boring place. Hey, the church in the earth shouldn't be a dull place. The church in the earth shouldn't be a boring place. The church in the earth shouldn't be a place where we come into a church building and we're afraid that if we smiled, God Himself might strike us dead. I've often said, if as a Christian I don't have anything to smile about, I need to be questioning my salvation. There ought to be joy in the house of God. There ought to be joy among the people of God. Would you agree with that? Jesus said, I want you to listen to this, Luke chapter 6. You ready for it? Luke chapter 6, verses 21 through 23. We may have never thought of it this way, but it's true. Jesus said, "Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." Say what? That's what Jesus said. "Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you and when they insult you. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven." You know what that means? We don't need to speculate about whether or not we're going to laugh in heaven. We will laugh in heaven. The children of God will laugh in heaven. It's Jesus' explicit promise. You see, laughter really is a reward, in a sense, for our present weeping as the children of God. It's hard to live here as a child of God. If you're really going to live for Jesus, if you're really going to follow Jesus faithfully, hey, I got news. Life isn't always going to be easy. Life's going to be tough at times. Because following Jesus the way we ought to follow Jesus looks weird in this world. And you can rest assured there are going to be people who hate you. There are going to be people who laugh at you. And there are going to be people who exclude you. And there are going to be people who insult you. And there are going to be people who slander you. Because you're living for Jesus. Because you're following Jesus. But Jesus says to you, "Rejoice and leap for joy." Did you hear what I said? Do you hear what He's saying? He's saying leap for joy now. Now, He says, in that day. What day? Well, when I get to heaven. No, there's going to be some leaping and joy and laughter up there. That's not what He said here. He said, when you're excluded, when you're hated, when all of this, rejoice and leap for joy in that day. What he's saying is when people make fun of you, when they laugh at you for your following Jesus, when they exclude you, when they insult you, when they slander you, and when they hate you, all because of Jesus' namesake, he's saying you can go ahead and jump for joy and laugh and celebrate, because that is a sure sign that you are walking with Him. When I can go outside the walls of these churches and it doesn't matter who I come in contact with, everybody loves me, it's probably because some of them don't know I'm a Jesus follower. Because I'm telling you, if we really follow Jesus, they're going to be people real uncomfortable to be around us. Would you agree with that? So let me ask you this. Rejoice and leap for joy now. Well, that might make me look Pentecostal. I'm not saying we need to be disorderly in worship. But what I'm saying is if we can't celebrate when Jesus has called us to celebrate, we need to reassess some things. We just flat out need to reassess some things about us. Are you one of these people, and I say this not just for your sake or mine, but for folks who might hear this on the World Wide Web, are you one of those people, one of those Christians who has kind of bought into this idea that God doesn't have a sense of humor? You ever looked at a picture of a baboon? You ever looked at yourself in the mirror first thing in the morning? See? I see smiles and I hear some laughter. You see, God made us to laugh, and He made us to love to laugh. And we're created in His image. And I've got news for you. Heaven is going to ring out with joyful laughter. It just is. Now, I need to give a little caveat here. For those who have not surrendered themselves to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, those who exploit and ignore the needy, who ridicule the unfortunate, and who spit in the face of God's truth, will have all eternity to mourn and weep. The only laughter they're ever going to experience is right here, right now. But there will be no laughter in eternity to come. This is it for them. Never to laugh again. And we need to be praying for the souls of men. Isn't that a horrible thing to think of? Isn't that a horrible thing to think of? A guy I grew up with, we graduated in the same year, known each other our whole lives, and I'm friends with him on Facebook. He is not a Christian. He knows I am, and he knows I'm a pastor. And I'm friends with him on Facebook. I hide some of his posts sometimes because I don't want to see them. But the reason I keep him as a friend is because somebody's got to speak truth into his life. Well, he posted something just this past week. I've got front row seats in hell waiting on me. And it broke my heart. And so I commented. I didn't erase the post. I didn't hide it. I commented. I quoted the scripture from the Word of God. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And then I put, Daryl, it's going to be fun there, isn't it? And just left it at that. Because he knows where I stand. But it breaks my heart for him. It doesn't make me angry with him. It breaks my heart to know he's laughing about that now. He laughed about that post when he posted it. But except he come to know Jesus, he will never laugh again. He will mourn and wail and weep and gnash His teeth for all eternity. But the saints in God, the saints of God, will laugh once God wipes away every tear from the eye. You see, one of Satan's biggest lies is that God is joyless. That God is, because He is holy, 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 He is completely and utterly stoic. Is that how you view Him? Is He holy, holy, holy? Absolutely. But do we think God is not personable? When He created us to be personable? All we have to do is look at the life of Jesus, God in the flesh. He was personable. Do we think God is joyless? Satan would have us think God is joyless. In fact, Satan would have you think God is not joyless, and He is the one who can give you joy and laughter. But what a lie that is, you see. We need a solid theology, and I'm closing now. We need a solid theology that prepares us for an eternity of joyful celebration. We do. We need a healthy biblical theology that helps us to understand that if I'm a child of God, He is preparing for me a place. And it is a place where there is no more pain, there is no more sin, there is no more loss, there is nothing whatsoever to grieve over, and He Himself shall wipe away every tear from my eye, never to cry again, never to weep again over sin or loss or pain or any such thing, and He shall replace it with joyful laughter and celebration for all eternity. And we need a biblical theology that helps us to grasp that. So, in closing, we may not be able to laugh at times here, but it is certain we will have no trouble weeping. But the day is coming. The time is coming. There. When having wiped away all of our tears, we will be perfectly joyful. And we will celebrate with joy inexpressible, having realized the fulfillment of His promises and presence. We will not weep. We will laugh. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to that day when tears shall be replaced with laughter. When God will have wiped away all my tears forever and ever. How about you?